Let's just commit our time, please, to the Lord. In a word of opening prayer, let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this morning, in and through our Savior's precious name. We ask, O God, that You'll make this time to be a blessed time, a hallowed time around Thy throne. Give us help, O God, we pray. Help us, Lord, now to worship Thee and to glorify Thy great name. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord by singing together the words of Psalm number 34. First 10 verses of the psalm. Psalm number 34, God will I bless all times His praise. My mouth shall still express, my soul shall boast in God the meek, shall hear with joyfulness. We're going to sing the first 10 verses. The words will be on the screen. And we'll stand together as we sing, please. Let's stand to sing. Together, seek the Lord, please, in a word of opening prayer. Still our hearts and seek His face for His presence with us this morning. Our eternal God, we come to Thee today and we thank the Lord that Thou art a God who is ever open unto the cries of Thy people. We thank Thee, O God, today that You've told us, You've commanded us to come. To come boldly unto the throne of grace. And, O God, we come to Thee because we need Thee. Lord, as we, Lord, set out in the service of worship, we need the help of heaven. We need thee, O God, to come, be one of our number. Lord, we dare not do this of ourselves, Lord. It would only be going through motions and through rituals. And therefore, O God, we pray that you'll give us help to truly worship thee today. May we know, Lord, what it is, Lord, to seek thy face, to hear thy voice, to call upon thee and to cry unto thee. May we know what it is, Lord, today to do business with God. And Lord, we pray that we'll hear God's voice. O God, we pray that you'll come and speak to us. Our Lord, our prayer would be, even with the psalmist, be not silent unto us today, we pray. Lest if thou be silent unto us, we be like them that go down unto the pit. O God, we pray that we might hear the voice of God. And Lord, that on hearing that voice, our lives will be stirred. Lord, our hearts will be encouraged. Lord, our eyes will be opened. Heavenly Father, we pray that today we might come, behold those wondrous things out of thy law. We thank thee, O God, today for our standing in Christ. We thank the Lord today for redemption, for all that you've done for us, Lord. What a blessed people we are today, for each one that's saved. We thank the Lord today that we're in Christ. We thank the Lord today for the blessed assurance of sins forgiven. We thank thee, O God, today that we know with assurance as well with our soul, Lord, our sins, the past sins, the present, the future sins, they're all covered in the precious blood of Christ. And the wrath of God has been passed. O God, we thank thee today that it's all because of Christ. It's all because of his atoning work for us there on the cross. He died for us that we might live. He endured our hell that we might never go there. He was separated from the Father that we might never be separated. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee today that as we come and we make our petitions known unto thee, we do so on the grounds of Calvary. We do so on redemption ground. And Lord, we thank thee today that we know no surer, no better ground today than the ground of the cross. And so, our Father, we pray that you'll encourage our hearts. Lift us heavenward today, we pray. Lord, bless all who've been enabled to gather in the house of God this morning. We thank the Lord for your goodness toward us in the week that has passed, that has enabled us, Lord, with health and strength to be here. And Heavenly Father, today we pray that you'll speak to all of our hearts. Remember, Lord, those who cannot be with us today. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell in their own homes. Lord, those in nursing care today. Lord, meet with them today. Remember those in hospital. Remember Brian this morning. Lord, we pray that you'll touch him, Lord, even at this time, and raise him back once again to that desired measure of health and strength. And Lord, for all who need that touch, we thank the Lord for answers to prayer. Lord, for those who have known the healing touch of the Lord in their lives. O God, we pray that you'll continue to be with them and bless them. We ask, O God, today for those who are cold and careless, for those who are indifferent about the things of God. Lord, today for those who have no interest in the house of God, we ask, O God, that you'll speak to such today. Remember, Lord, today the wanderers. We pray, Lord, today for those who are backslidden far from God. We pray, Lord, today for those prodigal sons and daughters. Lord, bring them back to the Father's house, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that today you'll make them sick with their sin and with their sinning. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll restore unto them those years that the locusts have eaten. Heavenly Father, we pray today for every gathering such as this across the city and across our land and across our nation. Bless, Lord, the going forth of the Word of God. We pray, Lord, that today there may be signs to follow the preaching of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Do our hearts good, O God, we pray. Remember, Lord, across this world today, where many are being persecuted for their faith, where many, Lord, do not have the privileges such as we have to meet openly and publicly in such a manner. We pray, Lord, today for the persecuted church. We pray, Lord, today for those who are being hounded because of their faith, even, Lord, those who are being put to death this very day because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, stand with them. Lord, we pray that you'll help them, encourage them. We pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen their faith. And Lord, in strengthening their faith, rebuke our faith. Heavenly Father, today we have so many privileges. We have so many opportunities. And yet, O God, at times our faith is so weak. Our faith is so small. Heavenly Father, we pray today as the disciples increase our faith. So, our Father, we pray that you'll bless us. Meet with us today. Lord, we pray that truly this will be the house of God to our souls. Hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us now. In
In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this morning to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7. Book of Acts in the chapter 7, please. We come to the final part of our series, final message of our series in Help for Hurting Christians. I trust that what we have looked at over the past number of weeks and months have been of help to you in this matter. But we want to conclude this series this morning by looking at the subject of facing the future. And we come to Acts chapter 7, and we want to read from verse 51. Acts chapter 7, and the verse number 51. And we'll read down to the end of the chapter, dealing, of course, with the martyrdom of Stephen. Acts chapter 7 and the verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord, Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down, and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading to all of our hearts. At this stage, let me welcome you all along to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you in the house of God today, and we welcome you warmly and sincerely in the Lord's great name. And thank you for being with us today in the house of God. And it's good to see so many gathered with us in God's house. Also to those who are watching online, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. Can I just remind you of the meetings that lie before us in the will of the Lord, both today and in the days that lie ahead in the will of the Lord. We have our Sunday school in Hollywood this afternoon at 2:30. Do continue to remember the Sunday school there. We have our gospel service this evening at 6:30. Now, we'd love to see you back. We're missing some of you on a Sunday night. Come back again on a Sunday night, 6:30, and join with us for the gospel service. Our sister Joanna McCammon will be here to sing as well, and there will be the season of prayer at 6 p.m. as well. Then on Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we have the Explorers Bible Club. Do remember that, please, in your prayers. Then on Thursday night, our Bible study and prayer meeting here at 8 o'clock in the will of the Lord. Remind our elders that this Friday, being the first Friday of the month, will be our monthly presbytery meeting, Friday at 8. Then next Sunday, we have the Sunday school and the Bible class, 10:15. The morning worship service at 11:30, and that is preceded by the season of prayer just after 11 o'clock. Next Sunday morning, one of our Bible College students, our brother Mr. Andrew Irwin, will be here to preach. I'll be over in Donaghadee, God willing, next Sunday morning, and Andrew will be here to take the meeting. Then we have the Sunday school again, Hollywood, 2:30, and then our gospel service next Sunday night, and I, God willing, will be back to preach for the gospel service. The Walker sisters will be here to sing next Sunday as well. Can I thank you for your offering for our sister Joanne Greer on Thursday night past. For those of you who were here, you know that Joanne unfortunately wasn't able to be with us, but we were able to show her video, and she was able to send through a little video as well of the various needs of the work. And the offering on that occasion came to £605. I want to thank you for your generous giving to the Lord's work. Do continue to remember those who need our prayers in the congregation. We want you to continue to remember our brother Brian, Brian McKay. As we said during the week, Brian was admitted to hospital and is still in hospital. And please do remember Brian. The Lord will touch him and strengthen him at this time. Also, we've been asking you to pray for our sister Maureen Ewing, who was to go for an operation on Friday. However, when she went for her operation, the doctors discovered some problem with her heart, and so they were not able to do the operation. And so she's been referred to a cardiologist, and hopefully we'll get the operation very soon. But do remember Maureen in your prayers as well. And Richard Scott as well, others who need our prayers, many in the congregation who are not well at this time. Pray the Lord will be with them and strengthen them. Can I just remind you of our Bible conference that's coming up at the beginning of March? Thursday, Friday, and the Sunday. That's the Thursday the 3rd, Friday the 4th, and the Lord's Day the 6th of March. And Sunday, Thursday and Friday night meetings will be at 8 o'clock, and the Sunday services will be at the usual times, 11:30 and 6:30. The Reverend Roger Higginson will be here to speak at all of those meetings over that Bible conference weekend, and so we trust you'll be able to join with us. We're looking forward to that special time of Bible teaching. You plan to be here and bring others with you as well if you can. So that's the first weekend in March, Thursday, Friday, and the Lord's Day of the first weekend in March. Do keep that free. And again, there are no offerings, as you know, but the baskets, the boxes there are available as you leave. You're going to turn your heads and you're going to look up, and we're going to see the words of 454. And we'll sing this hymn together. The Master has come, and he calls us to follow the track of the footprints he leaves on the way. We'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Let's stand to sing.
Thank you.
Let's turn back, please, to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Let's read together just the words of verse 55. Acts chapter 7 and the verse 55. And there we read, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Let's just seek God's face, please, in a word of prayer before we come to the preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today again for the Word of God. We thank Thee, O God, today that we have the Scriptures, Thy Word, in our own language. We thank Thee, O God, that we can read it, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can understand it. And, O God, we pray now that Thy Holy Spirit will come and open this book to our hearts. And Lord, as well, open our hearts to this book. We pray, Lord, that today You'll speak to us. We pray, Lord, that today we might hear the voice of the Lord. Lord, that today we might be very conscious that God is speaking. Lord, not a preacher in a pulpit, but God in heaven speaking from His throne. Heavenly Father, we pray that today we'll hear Thee, we'll see Thee. To this end, we pray, hide this preacher behind the cross. May none be seen, save Jesus only. May no voice be heard but the voice of the Master. And Heavenly Father, do our hearts good. As we come now to the Word of God, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Give us, Lord, that help that we need to preach. Give us, Lord, that help that we need to hear. And may it, through everything that would be said in this time now, may Thy name alone, be glorified. Answer prayer for us. In the name of Christ we ask. Amen. Amen. Some weeks back in our prayer meeting, we were looking at the life of Stephen. Stephen, who is known by all to be the first Christian martyr. However, on that night, we noticed how that Stephen was more than just a martyr, that he died as he lived, living his life for the Lord. However, as I thought about the manner of how Stephen faced his future and ultimately faced his death, I felt the Lord was leading us back to this passage of Scripture again in order to conclude this series of what I hope has been of help and of assistance to you, biblical help, scriptural helps for hurting Christians. Because I know that while the child of God today has a bright future, a very blessed future, a blessed assurance of heaven, yet in the hearts of God's people, there are still those real fears about the future, about the changes that the future may or may not bring, and especially about death. And this morning, I want us to focus especially on the last few verses here of chapter 7, because at the end of these verses, at the end of this chapter, I believe we have a wonderful example as to how Stephen faced the future. How he dealt with the possibility and then, as we know, the reality of his own death. And there is a wonderful example. There are precious truths for us here. How did Stephen, the man known as the first Christian martyr, how did he face the future? How did he deal with the hatred and the opposition of the world? And how ultimately did he deal with the reality of his own death? I want you to notice some things with me here from these verses that we read together from Acts chapter 7 as to how Stephen faced the future and how we may face the future also. I want you to see, first of all, here that Stephen faced the future by remaining faithful in the service of God. He remained faithful in the service of God. Look there in verse 55. And notice those two words at the very start of verse 55, but he. But he. The reference is to Stephen, and the contrast in these words is between Stephen and his persecutors. In verse 54, we read how that his persecutors were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were filled with outrage. They were filled with fury and wrath at what Stephen was doing. Now remember the context here. Stephen has been arrested. He's charged with blasphemy. And the false accusers told their lies about Stephen. And so he is before the Jewish council, and he's answering before the high priest. And what has taken up much of chapter 7 is Stephen's answer to this charge of blasphemy. But here's what I want you to notice. Here's what I want you to see. Is that as Stephen faced the future, and remember, he's on trial. He's under the threat of death. Yet he remained faithful in the service of God. He remained true and faithful to the Lord, to the witness to the Lord, and to his work for the Lord. You see, by those two words there in verse number 55, the Scripture makes a tremendous contrast between the work that Stephen is doing and the work that his accusers are doing. They're attacking the Lord, but he's defending the Lord. But he. There's a stark difference between the evil of the opposition and the good of the gospel. And the Lord impressed that thought upon my heart through those two words especially, but he, but he. Dear Christian, today, no matter how hard your living may be for God, and no matter how hard and difficult your service for the Lord may be, no matter how deep the valley or how high the mountain, there is still the great need for us to remain faithful in the work of God. There is the great temptation that when troubles come, when hard times hit us, that we go back in our service for the Lord, in our living for God. How do we face the future? How do we face the uncertainties? How can we best live for God in this year that lies before us? By remaining faithful in the service of God. There's nothing more heartbreaking, I believe, to the Christian, or I trust to the Christian, certainly, to me as a minister and a pastor. There is nothing more heartbreaking and soul-destroying to see those who go back in their living and serving God. Those who once were bright for the Master, those who never missed the gathering together of God's people, those whose seats were always, always filled on the Lord's day and on a Thursday night. And yet they've gone back. But he, Stephen, remained faithful in his service for God. And to make this point even more, I want you to go back to the opening words of chapter 7. Because here Stephen is setting the scene for his service for God. Then said the high priest, verse 1, are these things so? And so he starts into his sermon there in verse number 2. He's before the high priest, he's before the Jewish council, he's on trial. And how Stephen answers his accusers here shows us just how faithful and how steadfast he was in his service for the Lord. We'll see it in a moment, but Stephen's not trying to get an acquittal here. Stephen's not trying to get himself off the hook. He doesn't want to be released if it's not the Lord's will for him to be released. Stephen knows he's a marked man. He didn't water down his message. He didn't change his service. He didn't shrink from his service. But he tells his Jewish leaders and the Jewish accusers just the realities and the facts of the gospel. In fact, chapter 7 has often been referred to as a sermon to die for, because it was a sermon that he did die for. And what he does throughout chapter 7 is that he picks out some major events, time frames in the life of the Jewish people, events that his accusers would have all been too well aware of. First of all, he speaks about Abraham, verse 2. He goes on about the age of the patriarchs. And then he moves on to speak about Joseph in verse 9, in the Egyptian exile. Then he moves on to Moses and the Exodus and the wilderness journeys. And then finally he comes to David and to Solomon towards the end of his sermon. And through each of those different time frames, Stephen points out how that the Jews wrongly took pride in their heritage and in their lineage. And what did they do in each of those times? They rejected the man of God. Look what he says in verse 35. This Moses whom they refused. In verse 39. To whom our fathers would not obey. And what does he do? He applies all that he has been preaching and he sums it up in verse 51. And he says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. He's not trying to win friends or favor with the Jewish leaders. He tells them the reality of their rejection and their rebellion. He accuses them of slighting the prophets in verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers. This would have been like a red rag to bulls. Yet the whole point of this is to show how that Stephen remained faithful in his service for the Lord. He faced the future, whatever it might have been, by remaining faithful, by remaining true. I don't know if Stephen knew at this stage if his time was up or not. I don't know if the thought came into his mind that this may well have been his last sermon, but no matter what, as Stephen faced the future, he remained faithful in his service for the Lord. And folks, that's what we've got to learn as we face the future and deal with whatever the future may bring. The one thing we must strive by the help of God, the Holy Spirit, is to remain faithful, to not go back. So many have gone back, and it is heartbreaking. It is soul destroying. But the Lord charged his church, as he charged the churches in Revelation in Asia Minor, be thou faithful. Be thou faithful unto death. Stephen was faithful in his service for the Lord. You see, Stephen realized what later George Whitefield went on to articulate is when he said that we are immortal until our work on earth is done. We are immortal until our work on earth is done. There's always something for us to do. Let's keep at the work. Let's keep sticking at the work, getting back to the work. Realizing we've only one life. Only one life. And it's only what's done for Jesus. Last. Stephen realized the only thing that mattered was his witness and his service for the Lord. If you name the name of Christ today, the only thing that matters at the end of the day is what we've done for the Lord. What we've done for the Lord. Oh yes, we all could do more. I could do more. But are we doing what we can? Here was Stephen facing the future, and he remained faithful in the service of God. God keep us all faithful. Not only did Stephen remain faithful in the service of God, but if you come back here to verse 55, we see secondly that he was filled with the Spirit of God. Look at verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost. Being full of the Holy Ghost. What a testimony. As Stephen faced the future, he did so full of the Holy Ghost. You see, the reality is that Stephen could not face what he had to face, could not go through what he had to go through if he was not full of the Holy Ghost. Again, there's another stark contrast between Stephen and the rulers of the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin. They were full of rage, as we read in verse 54. They were cut to the heart, they gnashed on him with their teeth. But Stephen, being full, it means he remained full. He continued full. He was a man led by the Spirit. He was a man directed by the Spirit. You see, how did Stephen stand before his accusers? How did he answer them? By being full of the Holy Ghost. How was he able to challenge them about their rejection of Christ? How was Stephen able to be bold and to launch such a defense of the gospel of saving grace? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And herein, I believe, lies the beauty of Stephen's life. A few weeks back, whenever we looked at the life of Stephen, we saw that he was appointed as one of the deacons in the early New Testament church. Why? Because he was a man full of the Holy Ghost and of power. The beauty of Stephen's life lay in the fact that he was perpetually filled of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that today in the Pentecostal charismatic world in which we live, it's sometimes a subject that we don't want to deal with because we can be accused of being charismatics or Pentecostals. Listen, every Christian should be filled of the Holy Spirit. Every child of God daily, constantly needs the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. How can we face the future? How can we face what the Lord would have us in the days ahead? By only being full of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength. What does it mean to be full? What did it mean for Stephen to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, first of all, there's an emptiness. There's an emptiness. You see, Stephen was a man. We noticed that a few weeks back in our prayer meeting. Stephen was a man whose life was given over entirely to the Lord. Stephen wasn't in the front line. Stephen wasn't an apostle. Stephen wasn't a disciple. But yet he was still a man whose life was given over to the Lord. He didn't hold anything back. He was a man who was emptied of himself and filled with the Holy Ghost. And you see, folks, there can be no infilling in our lives if we are already filled with other things. You cannot fill something that is already full. You cannot fill a jug of water that's already full of water. And for that jug to be full, what you have to do is empty it. And you see, folks, for us to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we need to be emptied. And perhaps the problem is that we're too full of other things. Too full of legitimate things. Proper things, yes, in their own right. But things which have crowded out the Lord in our lives. We'll never be filled with the Holy Ghost if we are filled already with the things of this world. Because what we have done is we have crowded out the Holy Ghost. There's no room for Him. So there needs to be that getting before God and calling on to God that we might be emptied of ourselves and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the command of the Lord, be ye filled. Be ye filled. There's to be an emptiness. But more than that, there's to be an openness. You see, Stephen, yes, was a man whose life was given over to the Lord. But Stephen was a man who wanted to live for God. Stephen was a man whose life was entirely given over to the Lord because the Lord captivated, controlled his life. Stephen was not a Sunday-only Christian. Stephen was not a Christian when it suited or when it was convenient. Stephen was a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week Christian. He desired to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He knew that he needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He was open and willing for his life to be used. You see, we must submit ourselves under the power of God, the Spirit, in order to live for God. Because if we're not, then we're living below the privileges and the blessings that God has for us. D.L. Moody, the American evangelist, said that God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And if we are not filled, it is because we are living beneath our privileges. It's very easy to be filled with the things of this world. Very easy to be filled with our business, our job, our employment, our homes, our families. But are we filled with the Holy Spirit? If not, then we are living beneath the privileges that God would have for us. We're not living the Christian life to its full potential. How can we face the future? How can we deal with whatever life may bring our way? By being full of the Holy Ghost. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, will never be full of the Holy Ghost, folks, if we are full of rage. We'll never be full of the Holy Ghost if we are full of fear. We'll never be full of the Holy Ghost if we are full of anger or bitterness. That's why there needs to be that emptying of those things. And that filling by God, the Holy Spirit. Are we filled with the Spirit of God today? Are we? Stephen, but he being full of the Holy Ghost. What an example. What a testimony. May that be our desire. That as we face the future, May it be said of us, as it was said of Stephen, that we are full of the Holy Ghost. How did Stephen face the future? He faced it by being faithful in the service of God. He faced it by being filled with the Spirit of God. But notice something more. He also faced the future by being focused on the Son of God. Back into verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus. He looked up. He looked up. Now remember what's happening here. His accusers around him are gnashing their teeth at him. They're mocking him. They're scorning him. And yet that's not where he has his focus. He looks up and sees the Savior. What a wonderful lesson that is, I believe, for the church in 2022. Folks, it's all too easy to focus on the scoffers out in the world. It's all too easy to hear those who hate the gospel of God and hate anything to do with the book of God. We hear them, we see them day and daily. But that is not where our focus should be. Our focus should be not on those who are accusing us, but our focus should be on the one who has accepted us, Christ. Stephen was not focused on those who were mocking him, on those who were going to take him out and stone him. He was focused on Christ. As we think of this focus on the Son of God, notice that he was focused on the place of Christ. He looked up steadfastly into heaven. He looked up steadfastly into heaven. Notice that word steadfastly there. It means an intense, a consecrated look. He was entirely taken up with the place of glory. Isn't it the case that we can be so taken up with the future and the uncertainties of the future and the uncertainties of this whole world around us, so tired down with living in this world, its businesses, its activities, its pursuits, that we fail to consider eternity the way we should? Paul, writing to the Colossian church, he said, "Set your mind on things that are above." Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. And that's what Stephen was doing. He looked up steadfastly into heaven. Stephen was doing what we all should do, and that is to live our lives in the light of eternity, to keep our eyes looking up, getting that sight of heaven. That's why I believe Stephen was so useful and usable in the service for the Lord. He had his eyes on the prize. Stephen was a man taken up with glory. Stephen was a man who was taken up with that place that he would soon go to. It would have been easy for him to have his eyes on the dirt and the trash and the vileness and the hatred of the religious leaders of his day. It would have been easy for him to be distracted and to be discouraged by the events and how he was being treated. But Stephen didn't feel sorry for himself. He didn't plead for vengeance or for retaliation. These men were out for blood, but Stephen was looking out for heaven. He was focused on the place of Christ. He was also focused on the preeminence of Christ. Look at verse 55. He saw the glory of God. He saw the glory of God. He saw the splendor and the majesty, the regal brightness and beauty of his Lord. He looked up and he was encouraged. It was Corrie ten Boom who said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at God, you'll be at rest. And again, remember the context. Stephen's very life is on the line. And yet he sees the glory of God. He got his eyes of this world. And he got his eyes on the future. He got his eyes off the haters of God and got his eyes on the glory of God. How can we face the future? How can we deal with what this life may bring our way? By focusing on the beauty, the majesty, and the glory of our God. Folks, there is nothing in this world. There is nothing in this world. And I would dare say there's no one in this world that's going to motivate us in our love and our service and our devotion for Christ. Is this vile world a friend to grace, as the hymn writer asked, to help me on to God? No, this world is no friend to grace. And folks, don't think it's going to be a friend to grace anytime soon. Don't focus on this world. Focus on the glory of God. He saw the place of Christ. He focused on the preeminence of Christ. But notice as well, he focused on the posture of Christ. Look at verse 55. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now we read in Scripture that Christ, when he entered heaven, he was seated at the right hand of God the Father. Why is he standing now? Well, I believe that Stephen here sees Christ in his fullest display as his mediator, representing the work of Christ on Stephen's behalf. We know that after Christ made that one sacrifice at the cross, Scripture says he sat down. Why? Because his work was finished. That's his finished work, but there's also his ongoing work whereby he pleads, he protects, and he provides for his people. And I believe that Stephen saw Jesus Christ as his mediator, protecting him, providing him, standing for him. He stood to show concern for his servant. He stood ready to help. He stood ready to deliver. He stood ready to protect his child. You see, Christ stands to honor this man who is honoring him. Christ stands for Stephen because Stephen is standing for him. Then he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. In the midst of all that was going on, in the midst of all the hatred and the antagonism that was going on, he sees Jesus standing, ready to protect, ready to deliver. He focused on the place of Christ. He focused on the preeminence of Christ. He focused on the posture of Christ he was standing. But he also focused on the palms of Christ. You see, as Stephen looked up, as he faced the future, I believe he saw the palms, he saw the hands of his Savior ready to receive him home. As Stephen faced the future, he saw Christ with outstretched arms ready to receive his child. Look at verse 56. Stephen says, "Now, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." He sees heaven opened and Christ ready to bring him home. F.F. Bruce, the commentator, said that Stephen has been confessing Christ before men. Now he sees Christ confessing his servant before God. He saw Christ. He heard Christ say, "Welcome home, well done and good and faithful servant." Well, the mockers kept mocking, the haters kept hitting, the accusers kept accusing, but Stephen faced the future with perfect peace by looking steadfastly into heaven and seeing his Savior, I believe, with outstretched arms ready to receive his child. As Stephen enters his last moments on this earth, we see a man full of grace, not of anger. Verse 60, he says, "Lay not this sin to their charge. Father, forgive them." Think about it. As they stoned him, Stephen was praying for them. Then he calls on to the Lord, "Receive my spirit." Stephen knows by this stage his life on this earth is over. He knows his task is done, his work is complete. And he says, "Lord, take me home. Take me home." And look at that beautiful description that the Holy Spirit gives of the death of Stephen. The very end of the chapter, the very end of verse 60, he fell asleep. He fell asleep. As the stones fell on him, as his body was hurting and pained, Stephen fell asleep in the Lord. What a beautiful description of the death of the believer. We simply fall asleep. Parent, you think of your child. At the end of the day, they crawl into your arms. In the arms of their parents, they fall asleep. Dear Christian, today, when we come to the end of our time on this earth, we fall asleep in the arms of our earthly father. Sleep is not a terrible experience. It's not the end of life, because after sleep, we waken, don't we? Whenever the believer falls asleep in Christ, they waken with Christ. Stephen fell asleep. His life, his work was done. He fell asleep in this world and woke in God's heaven. Dear Christian, today, those loved ones that have gone on before you, saved, washed in the blood, they're not lost today. They simply fell asleep in the Lord
and they're with Christ. I wonder, will you join them there? When you fall asleep, when you leave this world, where will you be? Stephen fell asleep, went to be with Christ. How did he face the future? He faced it by being faithful in the service of God. He faced it by being filled with the Spirit of God. And he faced it by being focused on the Son of God. Dear Christian, today, don't fear the future. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Don't allow those fears to hurt you, to harm you, or to hold you back. Press on. Labor on, work on in your service for the Lord. And as you do so, seek the empowering and the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit, and keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on Christ. With the assurance and with the confidence that one day you'll be with Christ. In Christ, then with Him. What have we to fear? What have we to fear? Come life or come death, it's well with our souls. Let's rest in that peace and that confidence. Face the future, keeping our eyes on Christ. But He, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And when He had said this, He fell asleep. Oh, for such a faith to face the future. Do you have such a faith? Where is your faith today in the future? Oh, that today you'd come and put your faith and trust in the One who holds the future. Come today and be at rest. Come and know Christ as your Savior.